Blog Talk Radio.
Another Friday night's edition of Let's Talk What Works. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another great show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk What Works is on the air. And tonight, we're talking about what the upcoming election could fix. Well, if the truth be told, we need an entire do-over. First, we need to go back and repent to God for putting the people in office that we currently have in there now. And then after we repent, we need to get up and pray for the strength and the wisdom to get them out. We need strategies to come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And then we need good people to run for these offices to replace what we currently have in there. It seems what's in there now, they're tone deaf. They really don't feel the pulse of the people. And when that's the case, I think we've reached a point of no return where we've given them a year and a half to get to know us, and then we've had a year and a half to get to know them. And I think it's pretty clear now that nothing is going to change. And I think the worst thing I feel for these people in office now is obviously they don't have any friends, because if they had any friends at all, their friends would be saying, you about to lose your job, Remember that YouTube video where the lady's getting arrested, the black lady's getting arrested, and she's telling the cop, "You about to lose your job." I think that's where they're at right now. Unfortunately, they have put themselves or painted themselves into a corner where they have lost the confidence of the people. And I don't just mean black people. I don't just mean white people. I don't just mean Hispanic people. I think everybody's tired. And I think for whatever reason, I'm not sure who the ringleader is. That's the crazy part. I'm not sure who the ringleader is, but the rest of the group is following bad behavior. And I think that bad behavior is going to cost everybody. And just hold for thought, y'all. I've always been told if you're going to go on a job, you don't take your friend. You don't take your friend because your friend may end up getting your job. So when you go on a job, you treat it like it's a job. You don't take your personal belongings because that's not your house. And so we've seen people treat City Hall like it's their house. And basically we've seen them have the pack mentality instead of coming on to these elected positions with the spirit of, I've made promises to the people, and so therefore, despite what everybody else is doing, I've got to do the right thing, and I've got to vote the will of the people, which is something we didn't see a lot. We saw voting in blocks, and a lot of times there were votes that really, just anybody with any common sense would know those votes should not have passed. And so tonight we're talking about how to fix it. Because I really, and I'm not a mean-spirited person, y'all. Please hear me. And anything I say, I'm the type of person, anything I say behind someone's back, I'll say it to their face because that's just the kind of person I am. I don't say mean things for no reason at all. But I really do think this group needs to go. I really believe that, last time in 2021, there was a lot of conversation about flipping the council because of what happened after the Tatiana Jefferson shooting, and they didn't feel like the council heard them. And so the people went in numbers, I mean large numbers, you know, lines around the building, you know, standing in long lines just to say, we're not happy with y'all. We're not happy how you're handling this. And when they did not get the results that they wanted, the people voted them out in 2021. So I think 2023 is worse than 2021 was because I think the people really feel like they made mistakes with voting these people in. And so tonight, that's what we're going to talk about. And like I said last time, I ain't scared, y'all. Listen, I'm going to speak my mind tonight because I really feel like the city is in trouble. In more ways than one. We got crime. You know, we had a shooting today on Westbury right around the corner, right near Pascal High School, where someone was killed, a student was killed, another was injured. I believe they're in stable condition. You know, the crime is out of control. We have so many issues with the homeless and so many other things that we have to have the right leadership downtown to fix. So tonight, I see on the phone lines with me, I see Adrian and I see Christopher Marino. Good evening, y'all. I'm going to open your phone line. How y'all doing?
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. Listen, was I wrong? And then, okay, I'm sorry, 682-250. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening, everybody. Brother Malik on the line.
Brother
Adrian,
Malik,
you have to be in the paper. Be quick, baby, be quick.
But y'all know I'm not lying. It's bad downtown right now, and we got to have some changes because these people have reversed decisions that have been in place for decades. So how do we begin to fix it? We'll start with you, Malik, since you're here. How do we fix it?
I mean, we really have to come with the attitude either this or that, or we're going to put you out. I mean, that's the only thing they understand. I mean, and until they feel their positions are imminent threat, but this group, for some reason, they feel like they're going to be there for the next 10, 12 years. But everybody have to get on page and call them out about what should be done and and the mistakes that they have made to the citizens of Fort Worth, Texas, along with the police chief. I mean, this is a city of almost 1 million people, and the pace may be too fast for him. It seems like he's somewhat learning on the job, and it's just gotten above and beyond his grasp.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's another thing we got to talk about. Whenever you're talking about changing over leadership, with every new administration, typically they bring their own police chief. So if we saw another mayor, we would more than likely see a new police chief. That's typically. Do y'all agree with that? That's typically how it goes.
Pretty much. I mean, mainly it ain't so much the police chief, it's the city manager. That's the first thing to get shipped out the door is that city manager.
Yeah.
Well, see, the problem with, like we talked about last time, if you flip too many people at the same time, then you have total newbies in there who can get drugged by the nose by those who know what they're doing, and these other people are learning on the job. So we're caught in a catch-22 about trying to leave some old heads there, but right now what's on the council right now in the form of old heads, they're as worse as the young ones. That's just what that is, and y'all know who they are.
The thing I'll say about the mayor or the city manager or this, that, and whatever, mm-hmm. whatever has to do with police chiefing, and this is what's wrong, because we elect and we pay the mayor and the city manager. That is their job description, to have the discipline and the competence to know, you know, what's going on, what needs to happen with the police department. But I'm telling you, it's a big, and y'all know where I'm going. The Fort Worth POA owns that. They are the puppet masters there.
Yeah. And that's got to stop. You can't have a POA that's running the city. And so, therefore, you got officers who are basically rogue out there in the streets. So no matter what they do, there's no accountability. There's no transparency. You know, we really are in trouble in terms of the police department. And our current mayor wants to keep saying, you know, give the police chief a chance. But he has not told us what his plans are. How is he going to fix the problem? And so I just don't see, unless he plans to come forward in the next month or so and tell us how he's going to fix the crime rate, how he's going to address some of these bad police officers, I don't know that we can continue to just, you know, wing it, you know, that, okay, we're just going to assume everything's going to be okay because he says it's going to be okay. He needs to tell us his plan of action.
But going on from what you just said right there, the thing about it is, though, with Chief Noakes, okay, that is the expectation of him by the powers that be, that he ain't supposed to come with nothing new. He's a placeholder, and he's on script. And I'm not talking about him personally. I'm just telling you how it works, because we already know what happened with Fitzgerald. That was the first time, I think, maybe in Fort Worth's history that they got an outsider and a black man. They had always hired, and that threw that Fort Worth POA, I've done the research, the fact that they went out with an outsider, and I'll go ahead and sit there and say the issue of his race was a problem too, because it was right from the very start, right before, when and Cook, I think Cook was the one that recruited him, you know. He had a good resume. And he had an effect. Like, people can say what they want to say about this incident or that incident on a personal thing, but in all statistical, all empirical statistics of crime rate, of community survey and everything like that, mm-hmm. when Chief Fitzgerald was in there, it flipped. I mean, it was like the through-the-roof improvements.
Yep.
And they spent 3 years doing every which way. They first, you know, they was gaslighting them, scapegoating them, everything, and it just kept snowballing. And then what would happen? They was changing moves. There was a period in time there when he was getting offers from other cities, and I think that it's macabre, because here they were, these same people that were trying to get a no confidence vote on a police chief, Well, Baltimore comes down. They're looking for the Chief, and these people are free, and these and Manny and the two Manny and Carolyn Gilmore from the Fort Worth Police and everybody that had that and Cook and everybody. They were like, "Oh, this is a great guy. He did good. We hate to lose him." It's but what they were trying to do was get out of. They were trying to get him to like voluntarily leave because Baltimore offered him a better place, you know, a better deal. They didn't want to deal with the. They didn't want to deal with what they're dealing with now with the lawsuit, and they're going to lose. They spent almost $1 million. They've spent almost $1 million on that one particular lawsuit. The city council $1 million to obstruct his lawsuit, which is cut and dry. What it is, and now it's snowballed into two other lawsuits because other whistleblowers have joined in on the same thing.
So wait a minute, have we already reached $1 million? Because I thought we was about 750. Have we already gone to $1 million?
That's what I'm saying. I'll go with 700. Okay. I'll go with.
No, we had 750.
It was
okay with 750.
No, you're right. We had 750.
Okay. And that's still a lot of money. $750,000 is still a lot of money.
I'm just trying to figure out. What is a idiotic strategy? The labor board said they was wrong. Texas Workforce Commission says they were wrong. The federal judge says this is a frivolous lawsuit. Like bruh said, Chris said, it's cut and dry. Why are they wasting our money on some shit that they know they can't reach? If they got caught doing some illegal shit, they just got caught.
That's what I said right from the beginning. They knew they were wrong. They should have gave him $1 million he asked for and crossed their fingers. He wants his. I'm thinking that the reason that they haven't settled this case is because Fitzgerald is following principle. I think they would settle it if he would give them an NDA and not disclosure. I think they would have gave him $1 million.
Yeah. Basically,
and
I agree. I agree with you right there.
I think he's calling their bluff, and he says, "I want my money, I want my job, and I want this exposed. It's done."
Where did you get this $1 million number from? Because I've never heard that.
I knew that it was 750. I was just rounding.
No. I'm saying, where did you hear he asked for $1 million?
Oh, I think his original. Oh, yeah, it's in the news. I'll find it somewhere, but I know that his initial. That was what his claim was, $1 million and reinstatement. That was just, the up front to file the claim. You got to declare your relief.
Okay, gotcha. So my thing is this. We don't have any transparency with what's going on with that crime data sheet. You know, we're getting false numbers about how much crime is really going on in the city. I'm hearing, like, shootings every night. But that's not what the news is reporting. So that's crazy. And so we're thinking Star Telegram is the news source, but Star Telegram isn't even telling us about all the shootings that's going on. We don't have any scanners coming out of here that lets people hear the police scanners and, you know, what's happening. You know, we got rogue cops out there doing whatever they want to do and still able to keep their jobs because of the POA. And then we got the POA paying off candidates. We just got a whole lot going on with that police department that needs to be fixed. You know, so, Adrian, your thoughts tonight.
Yes. Well, I began with the current council. I think that with us adding two additional new seats, we have to consider the mindset of the individuals seeking to occupy hold those seats. You know, and we won't know that until they start doing these candidate interviews or whatever. So we're still a little ways off from that. And I guess we just got to give it a little more time because the people who filed so far, you know, you would say, man, it's not looking like 20, you know, what was it, 2021? It's not looking like 2021, you know. I was expecting more people to jump into the race, you know, but again, it's still early. So I would say that you spoke to something, Kerry, about the new members being possibly the newly elected, possibly coming in as novice, not knowing anything and having to be kind of, you know, kind of talk this, that, or the other about the Karen Council. But I could we can look at it like this. Every council member up there started where the newly elected started at. And my thing is this, long as you can read, write, and comprehend, this is not a, you know what I'm saying, it's not a degree. This particular position doesn't require a degree, doesn't require a squeaky clean background. Just read, write, and understand. So I think what we need people who are going to take seriously what's being put before them as far as what they vote on. People have to realize. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And then you got legal. Legal's supposed to help them out too, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
And well, as the city manager.
Yeah. Right. So with what they don't comprehend, they have a support staff that's supposed to help them.
Yep.
Okay.
And I think
really, really true. That's what Sally and Tate is supposed to do, is be on the up and up while they, I don't know what the fuck they doing, but the stuff that he has on the agenda and the things that he's supposed to be discussing, I mean, prior to, they supposed to make sure that, you know, the district rep is supposed to be prepared and, you know, and briefed on what they supposed to be discussing or talking about accomplishing. So I think that's what a default is, the people they got around him.
So you're talking about Chris Netto?
All of them.
Okay. No, you were speaking specifically about his staff members. That's what I'm referring to.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying that's all of them. That's any of them.
Right.
I think they have been allowed also as far as the district directors, because Ms. Bivens, she mentioned it yesterday on that Zoom call, that they are, you know, they only had one district director. Now they got two now, so they can kind of help with some of the things that's pertaining to the district. But like Malik said, it's my thing is this. I feel like the incumbents, if you leaving out, are you giving the new person the ins and outs? You know, you can only give them so much because you got to get out the way. But are you setting them up saying, hey, this is where we left off, this is where, woo, woo, woo. And then the council, my question is, who selects those district directors? Is it the council members? Is it the council members choosing of who they want to serve under them, or is it appointed by the overall, however the city is, the code of the city, you know, as far as who can work with them?
No,
you know
they pick who they want.
Yeah, because District 8 had a really good person, Mary Beth. She was, they said, really smart, really well-versed on the job, but Chris chose to bring in Sally. So I remember they said Mary Beth was really good. So, yeah, I think they get a chance to choose. Yeah, let's talk about these qualifications. like Adrian just said, the bar is really low, basically. You have to be a U.S. citizen, be 21 years of age, be a qualified voter, not be determined mentally incompetent by a final judgment of a court, not have been finally convicted of a felony from which not paroled, be a registered voter as of January 18, 2023 in the council district for which you are seeking election, and last but not least, resided continuously in the state for 12 months and in the council district for which you are seeking election for 180 days. That would be you would have to have already been there since July 22nd, 2022 before the first allowed filing date of the election. That's it. To be mayor of Fort Worth, to be a city council, that's it. And y'all, we see some people have already entered the race, as Adrian also said, not a lot of folks. We see in the mayor's race, we got Christopher Rector, who I understand is dropping out. We have Ken Bowen, he's a young African-American, and we have Allison Kennedy. She appears to have also ran for mayor in Dallas. In District 2, Carlos Flores, the incumbent, is coming back. District 3, Michael Crane, when I say coming back, let me rephrase that. So it's words have power. He is the incumbent who is running for reelection. District 3, Michael Crane, is the incumbent and is running for reelection. District 4 doesn't have anybody in it yet. District 5 has William McKinney Jackson. That's a pastor here in Fort Worth. Geraldo Sanchez Corona. Incumbent Gina Bivens, and She's running for reelection, and Bob Willoughby. District 6 has Atalia De La Cruz and Jerry Williams, the incumbent. And District 7, we know that Firestone is not coming back. So you have Jason Ellis and Caleb Blackholm. District 8, we see the incumbent, Chris Nettles, is running for reelection. District 9, we see Taylor Mundick and Jason Pina. That one, we do not see the incumbent in the race yet. That's or what could be the incumbent. Let me take that back. Again, words have power. Elizabeth Beck, who is the current councilperson in District 9, has not entered the District 9 race. We see Alan Blaylock, who was the councilperson in 4, after redistricting and is now in District 10, and he is running in District 10. And then in District 11, we have Jeanette Martinez, Rick Herring, Tara Maldonado Wilson, Crystal Galvin, and Christopher Johnson. That's it, John. Listen,
hey,
there was so many.
Care District 4. Care District 4 is
he didn't submit.
Nope. Say what, Adrian?
Care District 4 is Teresa Gonzalez.
Oh, she did enter today?
No, yeah, hers is Sean Fouch for 20th. So, yeah, she did enter. Yeah, I guess hers is today, yeah. Teresa Gonzalez.
Oh, 20
today.
Yes,
he passed today. Mm-hmm.
Teresa
on the show announced that he was going to run in 11, but he didn't file.
Oh, you're talking about Jesse?
Yeah.
I think Jesse, I spoke with Jesse this week. I think what Jesse has is, he's a mechanic by profession. And so I think what he's doing, he has some jobs that he wanted to complete to get done before he entered the race, and then after that, he's not going to do any more mechanic work until, whatever happens. And so, yeah, that's why he has not, he wanted to be committed to his, customers to finish
that
project.
Right.
That's what he's at. So, okay. So that's it. So Jesse does plan to enter the race.
So is the twin file?
No, twin is not filed yet. No, I just gave you all names of people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, who are running. But, y'all, listen, there's a lot going on. And, the thing is we got so many issues on the table that literally people have tried to address with this council. We can even start talking, if you want to start the conversation, about the Civilians Review Board. That was crucial. And if anybody was attending that council meeting that night, that was a very intense night where those people went down there and they cried out to this council, please do not do this. We need a Civilian Review Board. And it was as though the council was tone deaf. They still did not choose to put one in place. And so I think
that was Carlos Flo.
On the civilian,
Carlos Flo right then and there. We as individuals should have went in petition, flooded, called David Cook, and called that shit out. And him as a city manager was supposed to interject when Carlos did what he did and put that shit, because he has the power other than the mayor to put the shit back on the floor. Gina should have put it back on the floor, quiet as kept.
Well, you know what? If the truth be told, what Maddie did was somewhat illegal, because it was illegal because he had put it on the floor and Beck had seconded it. So how it comes off the floor and he says he doesn't even know what he did and all this other nonsense.
Can't tell the story right. Maddie looked at Carlos. Carlos didn't mean to do that.
And he's sitting there looking stupid. he was looking like, what you want me to do? You're like, okay, so just tell me what to do. And she couldn't just outright tell him, but she was looking at him like, you didn't mess up. No, you didn't mean to do that, did you, Carlos?
You didn't mean to do that, did you, Carlos?
Yeah, she's telling him, like, you didn't mean to do that after he'd just done it and Beck had seconded it. And so that vote was very crucial
everybody to understand, we have to be counteractive. I don't care if we have to go in petitions. Mm-hmm. And if you're talking on the phone, relying on them, we as citizens have a right because there is a file. There is a tech on there, and they know it. We are not screaming bloody murder about the shit. And so by rule, or what he did is fucked up. You know what I'm saying? That needs to be called out in council, point blank.
But
everybody needs to go down there, whether it be 8, 9, 10, and filibuster the damn meeting until we get our goddamn way. And right now is the right time to do it.
You know what, y'all, Memphis, and y'all knew I grew up in Memphis. They've been doing some power moves over there. Cleo Burris and was it Ocasio Montez and some of the other Frank Gotti. Listen, they ain't playing in Memphis. There was a shooting there was a police situation in which the police broke a young man's head.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Tyrese Nichols. Listen, y'all, they going into City Hall with their bullhorns saying, listen, you know what, you going to hear us. And that's something we really don't do here. We are so passive. When it doesn't happen, we just say, okay, it didn't happen. And I'm not saying we should do like they're doing, but I think we do need to be a little bit more outspoken when stuff is not going down.
But the thing of it is, everybody bring five. And I see 10 to 15 people is an imminent threat to that little bunch down there. And everybody get on the same agenda and just filibuster the damn council meeting and just express to them at any point in time, we do not yield a fool.
But you know what? If they can break quorum like they did, you send us for Bob Willoughby that night. If they can be bold enough to break quorum and they only have 3 minutes left in the session, because he was the last speaker, y'all, that night. If you don't know, that was public comments, and he was the absolute last speaker. And all they had, there was only 3 minutes left in that whole city council session. And they broke quorum, being mean-spirited. So Malik is right. If they can break quorum, we can filibuster.
We can filibuster. You got a right to. Thing over the years, you the one. Ain't nobody. They took an oath to serve the people. Well, there's the mayor. Where's the police chief, fire chief, and everybody around there? And so, so we holding what they got on paper. And so what we do is holding what you said you was going to do. I mean, I know the ins and outs because, I had a cousin that was city councilman and friends that was commissioner. Well, we ain't supposed to let them run road.
And that's what they're doing.
I was going back to this because I know people heard us talking about the law enforcement issue here, and I know they always relate to, where they go about the law enforcement, where they going on about the law enforcement, but people have to realize the Race and Culture Task Force was made up of a multitude of people, not just black people.
Yep.
It was made up of a multitude of people of various backgrounds, of various beliefs or persuasion or lifestyles.
Right.
These were people from all over the city who came together, put all of whatever differences aside, and said, hey, yes, we need, from what we see, we have an issue. Bob Ray Sanders been on it, being a part of it.
Okay,
now, Bob Ray Sanders.
Whoever has that noise, if you could mute it, please.
Okay.
Malik, is that your noise in your background?
Yeah, I was in my laundry room right quick.
Okay, got you. So you
were saying I was saying Bob Ray Sanders. He's somebody in Fort Worth, and to even just I said like it was.
Hang our hat on no Bob Ray Sanders. Bob is.
What I'm saying about the race and culture task force. He was a part of that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
He's somebody that highly regarded in Fort Worth. I say. We have to realize what that makeup was so people can know we're not just talking about law. We're talking about it because it's an issue. We're just trying to get some better accountability with our law enforcement. But the POA has become weaponized against our council, and our council has become weaponized against us as citizens.
Ooh.
That's how they operate. So, and what I shared with you Terry, real quick, you know, when I told you the last meeting, The body language of the CIT, the people who supposed to respond to whatever that group, when Beck was there with them, the body language that was going on between them, because she was reading off whatever the proclamation or whatever she was going to give to them, and they know to come down, but it's like a hesitation, like, y'all come down. And she had to literally get up out of her seat and kind of go up and bring them down. I'm like, what's the disconnect? They didn't, that space was just, I was watching their body language, how they was kind of just, like I told you, standoffish when it came to mm-hmm. Beck. And I know that got something to do with whatever's going on in the police department. People's talking and saying, you know, woo, 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 woo. You know, but, yeah, but they have become weaponized against us, the city council.
And you know what? And
well, I mean, bro, we hear all that. What I think everybody on here is we know their position. What do we do to counterattack? Because, number one, sis says she ain't scared. Everybody, brother Chris ain't scared. But what you can't do, Adrian, is play both straddle fence. You can't do that, bro. Either you're going to be on one side of the fence or you're going to be on the other. Either you're going to go 100, because when you playing straddle, that makes me think that you're an op and you're going to see a whole different outlook of the whole situation, young man. So you can't do that. Either you're going to be all the way to the right with the grassroots people that say, hey, we need specific change, or you're going to be on the other side. You can't both play both ends across the middle. That's what's not going to work, period.
I agree, and that's the whole thing that I say. And I'm not knocking nobody down, because it's a conditioned mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these politicians have conditioned us to feed us candy and sugarcoat it. Like I said, a lot we all talking about using the election to make a change. Well, let's say if we unseat them all, what we're also conditioned to is unseating elections, because they made, you know, this whole block. Then we get a new person in, and they don't do nothing that they got elected to do either.
No,
and then we're just waiting
not.
For the next.
You know what? And I have something for that. Let's say that. First of all, we got to stop getting comfortable enough to say, okay, well, we're going to give you 2 years, and we're going to get you out of there. No, we need to exercise the recall button.
Recall.
Yep.
If you don't do what you say you going to do, we're going to recall you. So we need to put that on the table that, listen,
which
we want
a right to do.
We don't want nobody who's taking no POA contribution. If you take them at your own risk, and know that folks ain't going to be voting for you, because we know that when you get downtown and it comes up on an agenda, you're going to vote one way always. So I say no POA financing. And then at the same time, if you get in there and you turn your back on us and you don't do what you say you're going to do, we need to exercise the recall button. We do need to get up off our butts and get the petition to recall them. That's what's got to happen. Because I think we're getting too comfortable with, okay, well, they didn't do what they said they're going to do. So, okay, we you know what, we ain't going to vote them back here. You know, they got 2 years and they got to go. You know how much damage they've done in a year and a half? these people have wreaked havoc in a year and a half. I mean, they changed the time to which we met at city council. They have changed the amount of times from 2 times a month to 4 times a month when you can speak at public comment. And then your agenda items and your non-consent agenda items, they say, hey, no matter what you got to say about however many, you're going to say it in 3 minutes. What kind of... And we have stood by and allowed them to make all these changes. We have watched them stand up there and say, you're done. Like they're on some reality show when you're talking and you only got 3 minutes, and the mayor saying to you, you're done. Like she's talking to her kids. You know, I think this is really become too personal for them. It's as though their personal schedule is more important than city business. And if that's and that could be the case. And if that's the case, then you need to go home and take care of your personal business and let other people take care of city business. That's a fair thing to do. And I'm not being mean-spirited. I'm being honest. That's a fair thing to do. If you all have young families and you got to do football stuff, you got to do cheerleading stuff, if you got to be home for dinner, if you got to be home for birthdays and all that, we get it. And I'm just going to put this on the line, and this is something I've never said, but I'm going to say it tonight. I never had children. But if I did, I would not put city business ahead of my family. I would go home and I would not lose those vital years with my kids trying to have it all. I would go home and be with my kids, because those years, you can't get them back. You can't. They grow up and they gone. and all that, that's those days, those special days that you spent at city council, mad because you were there, you could have been at home.
Yep.
And I think that's what these people should consider. These people with young families who need more money, you know, the ones that ask for the big raise, they probably should be doing something else. A 9-to-5 so they can go home and be home with their kids after work. Now, am I wrong to say that, Sean?
Jerry just had a baby.
Exactly.
And I'd be looking at that, too, and I get it. But at the end of the day, you took that position, bro. You took that position. You know what it was. Ain't nobody had you up under compulsion. Ain't nobody put no pistol up to your head. So when you took that oath and wanted that position, all that come with it.
I respect Firestone so much. Just with that one thing that he did, and that's by saying this job has too many responsibilities for me to be able to do what I need to do for my family. So I'm going to step aside and give this stuff back to somebody else, and I'm going to go home and not miss all my special days with my family because I can't get those back. You got to respect a man or a woman who does that, who realize you put your family first. You know, no matter how big of a public servant you want to be, you put your family first.
I mean,
am I wrong?
We need everybody who's involved. We need to make sure everybody's involved. They need to be not just involved running with their mouths and their presence. They have to be registered as voters, because if you're not voting, it's not going to do nothing to change anything. You can have passions about this, that, or the other. You can make your presence known, but at the end of the day, when it comes down to the election season and it comes down to us going to the polling place to vote, cast our vote, that's what it changes. It changes coming, you know. So we have to make sure people are actively registered. They're registered voters, and we need the people who just on one side of an issue. We need people involved on the totality of Fort Worth, not just when it comes to law enforcement, or not when it just comes to this particular thing or that particular thing. We need people involved on the totality of Fort Worth, because we lose people when it's only something that sparks their interest. You know, I want people who are interested in everything that's Fort Worth, total Fort Worth, because business interests are winning right now. Developers are winning right now. The business interests and developers are winning. They talking about this growth. People don't realize the more we grow, the more it's going to cost people. And the people who are going to lose out the first, the faster, are the ones who at the bottom of the income spectrum. You know what I'm saying? They're going to lose out first. So we got to get a hold on this. Just allow businesses just to have their way, you know, because, oh, yeah, y'all can go ahead and build. Yeah, there's no opposition. Okay, we're going to vote it in. These developers don't care. Once they get what they want, trust me, they do not care. Once they get what they want, it's all about the green to them, because they know people are going to come to it, buy it, or whatever it is that they're trying to give to the city. They're going to get the people to come to it. So that's another thing. We need people to know that these folks are just down here voting blindly. And Star Telegram said I was vague when I said it. I said business as usual. I'm tired of business as usual. Business as usual is, they, regardless of what we say, they vote one way. And our zoning commission, it's corrupt. They create the problem too, because everything that they choose not to push through, we don't hear nothing about it. But the stuff they pushing through, that's stuff people be fighting for. No, we don't want that. But for some reason, the zoning commission, they ignore the people. They the ones supposed to be at these meetings, this, that, or that, but they still ignore the will of the people. They still ignore the will of the people.
The zoning commission is appointed by the city council people. So two things I want to bring up that you just mentioned.
Yeah,
I would say
that is true,
yeah. I wasn't aware until today that I looked on the website, and the city's website, that is, y'all. And there are different boards that they have that you can actually apply to be on, or I think they still have to approve it whether you get on it or not, though. But there's things like the Zoning, Animal Shelter Advisory Committee, Art Commission, Aviation Advisory Board, Board of Adjustments for a Commercial, Board of Adjustments for Residential, Building Standards Commission, Business Equity Advisory Board, and basically that's formerly the Minority and Women's Business Enterprise Advisory Committee. You got the City Planning Commission. You got the Dallas and Fort Worth International Airport Board, the Downtown Design Board.
Hold on, let me stop. That airport board is one of them that you want to be on. That city development board is the one that we need to be hawking, and that medical board. Those are three entities where all that big money be flying. John wanted price down that app. And guess who's tied to that?
Who?
Gina Bivens.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And so if you be around those boards I just called out, that's where you know what's happening and what they're doing and how they float. Especially that planning.
Where have we ever heard in a council meeting them tell us about these boards and say, if you'd like to be a part of any of these boards?
Oh, no.
You know,
they're stealing.
They don't tell you that part.
They normally vote the boards. Like when the council member gets elected, then once they get the appointment, then they usually appoint that council to, they'll have a council meeting and say, we're appointing such and such to this board, and they'll vote. So they be voting each other on these various boards, you know. My thing is this, y'all, and I've said it. They're not just sitting on these boards to sit on these boards. They're not sitting on these boards just because they're getting compensated for sitting on these boards.
Oh yeah,
they're being compensated. They're being compensated.
We got all these boards. Why they're showing us how they went to the rodeo, the black rodeo, on their picture slideshows that they do. Why don't they be telling us about boards like this that people could be applying for? Why don't they do that part?
It is. And again, Kerry, being the fact that we know, we need to address it in council. So, Adrian, you got your notebook, brother?
Mm-hmm.
Write it down.
I got it.
When we hit what she just said, we got to call it out. If you don't call it out, they don't stay as business as normal, bro.
They
just like undisciplined children. You know what I'm saying? Had I not went down there and made a critical point about residents having adequate help of getting AC units for our elders, instead of them rag-ass box fans, they would have been passing out box fans.
Mm-hmm. And, y'all, you know what? This past week, I tried to find out information from the city, y'all. I asked them several questions. I said, how many people live in each district? How many registered voters are in each district? And how many people are in this city? Do you know that was like pulling teeth? And the city, who used these same numbers to draw these redistricting maps, and by the way, I spoke to the city secretary's office, the city manager's office, and planning and data analytics, all those departments, and I have yet to get an answer. I had to go to the elections commission to find out numbers for the city. So you see how y'all, it's some bullshit going on, but we have close to 1 million people in Fort Worth. They say only 512, 203 are registered voters. Now, when I asked Michael Crane how many registered voters he had in his district and how many people he had in his district, you know what he told me? He told me that he didn't know how many registered voters he had in his district. Now, that tells me Michael Crane is a liar because you have to have
that.
Oh,
he's lying on that.
Yeah, I know he's lying. And he says, I don't focus on the registered voters. I focus on all the people. But Michael Crane, you have to use them same numbers to do the redistricting math. So see, it's little things like that that shows who tells the truth and who doesn't. Let me finish one thought that he said that was slick, or he didn't think I caught it. He said every district has he said every district has between 90 and 100,000 people. Well, y'all, that's a 10,000 person window, which means, in my opinion, you could steal a whole election between 90 and 100,000 if you're paying attention. Some elections are only won by 3,000 votes. So don't we need to have accurate numbers about how many people are in all these districts and how many registered voters we have in all these districts? And so everybody's on a level playing field when they go out there and start campaigning? I just see some flickness going on in this whole thing. I mean, the only people who got the real numbers are the incumbents. I don't know, y'all. Y'all just figure that out for me. But that part really disturbed me that I couldn't get those numbers out of the city. And I had to trust that the numbers coming from the election commission were accurate, when the election commission would have had to get the numbers from the city. That part.
Yeah, they had to have the numbers in order for, like you said, to redo the line. You know, they full of BS on it. I'm with you 110% on that. But
the
I know about that there are some rumblings about what they did by creating that horseshoe.
And I must admit, the only person that gave me their numbers was Jasmine Tate, and that was out of Chris Nettle's office. Everybody else pretended Carlo Flores, he pretended he didn't see it. Crane, I told you what he just said, and Jasmine Tate was the only somebody who cooperated. To me, that shouldn't be a secret number. Those shouldn't be secret numbers. That already shows you we got a problem going into this election. If they're hiding the numbers, why would you hide the numbers? Why would that be a secret? But y'all figuring that out. I'm just saying it. We got too many problems downtown, y'all. It's just too much secrecy, lack of transparency, lack of accountability. You know, basically, you know, the big I's and little U's. It's just too much of that. And I think, in my opinion, this ain't their house. City Hall don't belong to them. City Hall belongs to the people.
Yep.
Ain't no, you take everybody on that dais and they could not pay one bill up there in that city. It's the people who pay the bills for City Hall. But they act like it's their house. And that's not fair.
Yeah.
No. And I think we as a people must realize when something has derailed, the train has left the track. These people are at a point of no return, because as many times as I've seen people go down to council meetings and complain about different things and speak before a vote, they still do whatever they want to do. Very rarely do they change their minds despite whatever the speaker is saying, unless it's a developer. And you know, that's the only time you see them sway. I've seen them help developers who, you know, basically had not done everything that they were supposed to do, so that they were able to get their projects pushed through. But when it's the people, rarely, if any time, do you ever see the council people change their mind. Something's wrong. And I think they need to go home.
And you know, Carrie, real quick, y'all, we haven't had nobody here in Fort Worth get caught up in direct corruption. Like, you know, we go across the way to Dallas. We know we've had council members in Dallas get caught up in various amounts of corruption, you know, because of favorable deals they gave developers, and in turn they got a kickback and it got exposed. So until that money trail is there, we just got to figure out how to follow it, because the money trail is there. And I know we know that some things are going on under the table. It's just a matter of how do you expose it. You know what I'm saying? Because I know some individuals got their hands in the cookie jar down there.
But I'm just
you know
saying,
what I'm saying?
That's,
so,
I'm saying, that's what the whole situation with Fitzgerald was. He caught them doing some corrupt shit.
Yeah.
And he turned that shit in, because you got to understand, Fitzgerald has a doctorate in finance.
Mm.
And that's how he caught them doing what they was doing. And they got mad. So they got busted. And that's why they ran the man out for nothing.
But see, you know what? We Fitzgerald said it, and then we know Brian Byrd said it in the 2021 election. He said, y'all make me mayor, and I'll fix that corruption downtown. He never told us what it was, but he said it was corruption. And then you heard Chris Nettle say recently, they have a backdoor meeting, y'all. It's corruption downtown.
Yep.
So we heard it three times.
I mean, all that got to do with, you know, developers, tax abatements and all that shit they doing. But if you're going to do tax abatement, goddamn, dog, if you're going to get down, let everybody get down. Like I told Chris to his face, if you're going to get down, bro, let everybody get down. And I mean, I was making reference to the CCPD, but if you're going to get down, do what you're supposed to do for your district when you're doing all this old sneak shit. That's the only thing we saying. If you're going to eat, let everybody eat. Because your first responsibility and your obligation is the district. Fuck what they talking about, that bullshit downtown. You need to be worrying about maintaining your district.
But CCPD, let's talk about that. CCPD has paid out $10 million. How many people benefited? I mean, $10 million. And I think 40, maybe 40 nonprofits benefited. They gave $10 million. You know how ridiculous that sounds? You know how far $10 million could have went if they spreaded it out? You know,
but,
that,
oh, yeah, March the 4th, Kerry, they're supposed to have a teen violence meeting forum from 9 to 2 at Dunbar. Dunbar Middle. Is it Dunbar? Yeah, Dunbar.
Mm-hmm. When is that?
So, all at the March the 4th mm-hmm. from 9 to 2. And so that's a good time to show up and put their ass on blast. You know, we ain't trying to hear this VIP shit. We ain't trying to hear this Mac shit. What are y'all doing? That's going to be some hard questions that everybody needs to throw at, chunk at them. So that's the time that we could hold their foot to the fire. You can't sit up there and say you're doing this and you're doing that when your police department got F grade. We ain't going for that bullshit. You can't, I mean, come on, man. And so
well,
certain things.
What does the 97-page report mean to them? Adrian, you brought that up recently. What does that mean to them? Exactly.
And the money
they
spent getting it done.
Yeah. How much was that?
Jeez,
I don't know, but I bet you it was a couple hundred.
Yeah,
a couple of hundred. I agree with you. I said, yeah.
No, that number was bigger than that. I remember one person got 100. Adrian, what was that number that they paid out to the people?
What's the one? Who did the what? The independent?
It was the independent thing that you said it. Didn't they give them a whole bunch of people?
Again?
We looked at the other day, we looked at that form that showed all that money that went out. Who was that? Somebody sent me that. I forgot who. Y'all, just some people send me so much stuff. Somebody sent me the number. Pops, who a lot of people know, and Weasel told me today, he said, you must be with Homeland Security. I said, why you say that, Pops? He said, because you know the news before the news. No, it's just a lot of people share stuff with me so that I can get it out there or whatever. But somebody shared some numbers with me about the payment that they made to all of these people. Maybe it was MATA. The payments that they made to all these people for these reports, only to disregard the findings. I mean, why would you pay outside entities money to tell you what's wrong with your department, and then when they tell you, you disregard the information?
I think the same thing just went down with the whole Panther Island thing. They gave somebody $500,000 plus to do a consulting, and I'm just telling, it's like I said last week with Mondi, I don't think that's in the cards. They're gonna get it designed, and then it's gonna flunk out on city council.
No, Chris. Let me tell you, Kay Granger is a John Birch Society woman.
Yeah.
And she got her hands in it big time. That peon of a council, they gonna do what she say, how she want it done. She holds the throttle on it.
Yeah, and she just got put on the top finance chairman or whatever in Congress.
Is she a whole thing? I'm telling you, man, say, man.
Not only that, her son, you know, her son was, he was kicked off of the Panther Island. But look, though. But his name is on one of these TIFs that we have in the TIFs I got. They got all these different TIFs they got. His name was so they found a way to sneak him back in under the radar. So he's still a part of something that they got to do with. Let me find the paperwork. I'll tell you what's going on.
They brought him back as a consultant. He came back as a consultant. I mean, where did they do that at?
I want to say real quick that on Chris Nettles, you know, just in general, I'm just saying, I was on the jury. I wasn't happy with him, but, you know, what you got to replace him with. But I'm going to tell you what changed my mind, and it's the same thing that goes on with all of them, but this was a thing. We had that fire at that building, you know, in his district, the old museum, the old Juneteenth Museum.
Right.
And, you know, they say this, that, whatever, but it came up on the news, and the dude is freaking crickets from him. I'm like, I'm not trying to spread counsel scandal, or I'm not hyping it up, but you know what? It was suspect, and they said they were going to investigate it, and they have all kinds. There's a fire department within a stone's
walking distance.
You can stand on the stoop and see it right there. Throw a
right
rock
on.
At it. They have that intersection has those cameras, traffic cams. That you know
right.
That church building and that other clinic build or that other community building right there. They've got security cameras. There's
the library right across the way.
And what I'm saying is, we just hear it. It comes up on Star Telegram, and then it's a pattern here. We get this preliminary narrative of unverified facts, and then it just drops dead on the scene. And I'm like, Chris Netto should be, hey, we got to get I'm gonna get a report. He should have been there. Like, hey, I mean, that's an event in his district. And he's like,
you know what? I think somebody told me none of the council people mentioned that. So what did
they
do that?
They didn't mention it. They didn't mention
nobody.
It.
Nope. City Hall.
And all I know is what was the, because they said it was going to be under investigation. All I want to know, you know, within an investigation, you got three, four days before you get like a move from the investigation. They can come out with a public comment and said, yeah, we found a new port on the sidewalk. That was the, whatever, just some comment. But nah, they don't want to say nothing.
I mean, you as your individual self, you got a right to call and make an inquiry.
Who are you going to
ask? Yeah, I got you.
Who are you going to ask?
I mean, I know it was.
You got a right to find out. It's public information. Shit.
But who are you going to ask?
Okay.
And you know what? You say that too, but I've done it before, and I've seen people. I've tried it before, and if you're getting on something that's sensitive, they get all bucked. They'll go roundabout and say, well, we got to wait for the attorney general. And then that's what, 90 days?
They sure do. They do. They will do you like that a lot of times. I'm surprised. And that's something else that we need. That's another reason, y'all, we got to have a new city council and a new mayor. Because literally almost everything you ask for via full request, they come back and don't want to give it to you and say, hey, oh, we're going to go ask the attorney general, do we have to give it to you? Well, that's lack of transparency.
I'm not a federal law. That is a federal law. They got X amount of days to give you an answer. They are damn lying.
No, that your answer, no, I'm saying your answer will be, we're going to ask the attorney general, do we have to give it to you?
10 days, they have to, it's a 10-day thing, but if
right.
they activate an attorney general request, it's a whole different scheme.
Mm-hmm. And then you got to wait on him to get back with you.
Yeah.
So
why aren't you following through with the feds?
Good luck with y'all.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, y'all? I'm not gonna talk too bad about the feds because the feds came in on Memphis situation with that Tyrese Nichols situation.
Oh,
maybe it's because ain't nobody.
The point is, it's already been a ruling on that type of stuff, man. You just gotta do your research and see how to counterattack this stuff. It's peer review stuff on where lawyers have won them cases, man. You gotta go off in there and pull article such statute such based on this date and time and year. The judge
ruled
X, Y, Z. Them cases are there, bro.
I guarantee you this.
Big Gregory talk about how he got information about the death of Malcolm X and MLK, and they used the same tactics. So.
Yeah, I can tell you this, though. There's one thing, an election thing right now, because it's coming up and everything, and recall, there's a lot of moves, but we always can't let our minds slip away from the power of the purse. When you start hitting that money train, whether it be,
boycott
the other thing, but there's another thing that you give me a hint to, lawsuits. And I'm not talking about just imaginary lawsuits. I'm talking because I can tell you right now, they got some serious fatigue dealing with lawsuits. You don't know it. They keep it under the radar. But they got some serious fatigue dealing with law, and they're good at it. But if people would start, and you don't gotta, even if you file it, you don't have to go pay for an attorney. You don't got. There's just a basic little thing you can file a template, and if you got some articulation in your mind, you can stamp something out, pay your little filing fee, and then get them to respond. And once you get them to respond, once you get a response and the judge certifies that you have a cause, lawyers will get all over you. They'll be wanting to take over your case.
Uh-oh, team game, y'all, really. So that's how to do it. So everybody needs to start filing lawsuits.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I told Bob, quit wasting money, and you need to file. Mm-hmm. And that's simple. If they are violating your constitutional rights, why haven't you filed, Bob? Instead of you coming down here whining and crying like a little old punk, I get tired of that shit, man. Put the paper to the pen, bro.
Terry, you know the most recent police incident we discussed when you said that the officer was off duty and he shoved somebody to the ground and blah 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 blah. They end up terminating the officer, right? But I also mentioned that in their report they didn't say. They used to say who the individual was, but they didn't say who the individual was, nor did they mention any type of injuries. And I said they
They did mention that man's name. It was a Hispanic name. It was a Mexican officer, off-duty officer.
Not the officer. We talking about the person who was at
the
other end of that.
They
didn't mention that person's name, nor did they mention the injury. They said they didn't mention the injuries. And I said they did that because they know anybody gets wind of they can encourage that person. You got a lawsuit on your head. But if this person just think, okay, well, it's whatever. So how many people are sitting out here with potential lawsuits because of wrongdoing by a city official, whether it be law enforcement or anybody who says they work for the city, but they don't know how to go about doing it. They just think it was just something that happened, you know?
A bunch. I mean, because you know what? To be honest with you, they have let this police department break a whole lot of rules. And I think, really, if people would just get on those lawsuits, they would break the city with just the stuff the police department has done. I mean, seriously.
I mean, Judge O'Brien said to the line time and time again, start filing lawsuits and really trust and believe the city does not want to spend money on these low-grade, barely can read on 10th grade level ass cops.
Yeah. Y'all, that may be a niche right there. Learn how to help people write lawsuits.
You can file. It's right there at your public library.
And they say down there at the law library that there's some very helpful staff down there.
Oh, they are. People are very helpful. But see, when you do that, you got to find a case that's similar to yours, and you just pull it.
Really?
Question you all. Mm-hmm. How much does the commission of court play in the decision making for Fort Worth? And I ask that question because, like I said, Mr. O'Hara said he went on record and said that spending is out of control and that they're going to try to get the spending under control. We know they had like a little back and forth when he was running. We know they kind of split the little powers that be when he ran and Betsy ran. So how much does the commission of court play as far as, you know, overall decisions when it comes to what they do down at City Hall?
I mean,
you know what I'm going to.
I mean, that's more of a – no, he kind of governs the county, bro. If the city tied to some of the stuff that goes on in the county, now he can intervene to make sure things are right. Majority of his stuff deals with the county, though.
Well, like the COVID. You see what I'm saying? Like the county judge determined that they was going to close all the businesses, which affected the city businesses, too. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
if the federal government come in and put in a mandate, he can't buck it, or the feds will come lock his ass up. judging out. You can't do that. I was like, why would you even put that in the air? Because if the if Biden right now, right in an executive order, and declare a state of emergency, even the state of government declared a state of emergency, and he bucked the government, his ass going to jail.
You know, when the whole thing with Betsy Price went down, our current mayor said she was distancing herself from the Republican Party. I don't know if y'all remember that, and that was in print. Because how disappointed she was with how she said they did Betsy Price. I think that's going to hurt us. I really do. In this upcoming election, because the Republicans, you know, even though this is a nonpartisan race, but at the same time, you know, everybody still has their parties, you know, whether this is a nonpartisan race or not. And I wonder if that's going to hurt her at the polls, because you distanced yourself from them and said how disappointed you were about the leadership and this, that, and the third about the party. So how can you then expect the party to give you support? My opinion.
I'll say this about Betsy Price, and you talked about her campaign with Tom O'Hare, her getting out of the mayor, just that, whatever. I'm going to tell you that Betsy Price was marked.
Really?
She went counter to the Fort Worth POA over the Aaron Dean thing. She was big time wanting him arrested, and I think she did it. I think she also did it with Courtney Johnson, a lot of that police stuff. So her thing was already done before all the – it wasn't on issues that Betsy Price was done. It's on the fact that she went against the script. She played the wrong cards.
Are you saying Betsy Price or Maddie Parker?
No, Betsy Price. I don't think Maddie Parker has went – she said that little comment. What you're seeing in all of this, that's facade. Like what you're talking about, that Tom O'Hare beat Betsy Price on the issue of spending. No, Betsy Price was done. Fort Worth Police, the Fort Worth Police Officers Association, wrote her ass off, and everything that you're seeing is just just narrative hype about this. Yeah, I mean, she went against Courtney Johnson. Courtney Johnson's case came up, and she was trying to get the DA. She was pumping her fist to get the DA. We want to retry the case. They wrote him, dismissed it. Aaron Dean, she was big time in the media. And Maddie Parker has been kind of like equivocating on the whole issue. She's trying to thread the needle. But Betsy Price came straight out, and she was pretty passionate in her support for wanting justice. And Krause, too.
I'm not mad about that, though. I don't know why I would be
I'm
mad
about
that.
I'm not mad
about
that either, but I'm telling you that's the reason, that's the whole reason the Fort Worth the Fort Worth POA got with whatever powers that be, and they took her out of play for the party. That's why they said if a Republican's going to win, it's not going to be Maddie Parker.
Gotcha. Listen, y'all, if you just tune in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Not Maddie Parker, but Betsy Price.
I'm Carrie Hines, your host, and tonight we're talking about how to fix the problems downtown. That's what we're talking about. So if you have a question or comment tonight, the call-in number is 515-605-9321. Then press 1-1, connect it. We're going to the phone lines. We're going to pick up 817-705. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
817-705. Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear us? Hello? 817-705.
Can you hear me now?
I can.
That's good.
Okay.
I can. What's going on?
We just talked about how to
see
downtown.
Yeah. And I've been looking at downtown, and downtown is they showing you what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
They want to change everything. They want to erase people's history out of communities.
Mm-hmm.
They say they want to do better within the community and the neighborhood, but they don't want to do better for the people that are there in the community and the neighborhood.
You know, I saw you were big on that Hillside vote the other day, and a lot of people felt like the vote should have been paused. so that y'all could have further discussion about it. But some kind of way things went the other way.
Well, that was something Nettles and whoever he's with, they done already made their mind up this is something they want to do. It's not going to do any good in their community changing the name of a place to a person that wasn't from that community. I understand that. We all understand the impact of what happened to Ms. Johnson, but at the same time, can't continue to show us that tragedy over and over again. Yeah, having saying her name, we want to continue to remember what happened to her. But Hillside has more history than that.
Yeah.
Hillside is one of the communities that kept us, I'm talking about kids before my generation, during and after my generation, that kept us out of a whole lot of nonsense. It was basically a safe haven in the community.
Yeah.
And if you look at the name of the people that had been there during the foundation of Hillside, you know, those were the people that we all feel from that side of town. If you're going to remember and honor anything, honor that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I had spoke with Councilman Nettles on another podcast, and his thing was we talked about naming buildings, and he said you could file get the paperwork and anybody can file it, street name, whatever, building, whoever.
Mm-hmm.
My thing was what you did, you went ahead and made your own decision not doing any investigation in a community that you're not from.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't grow up here, and you don't live here. So you don't know any of the history of what goes on here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically one of those things. It looks like political posturing.
Oh, wow.
You know, we talked about a school he went to in North Crowley, where they named a new library after one of their former teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And City Councilman Jerry Williams asked him, he said, that was one of your teachers, wasn't it, Chris? You know, yeah, dude, we know where you're from. You're not from, you don't know nothing about the South Side.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do that. But when you want to negate, now he said he wants to compromise. The compromise is, well, we'll put a plaque up for the people that did the, if anything, that you want to put their name up there.
Correct.
We don't, you want to erase somebody else's generational history, and it goes more to just being tied to a side of town. You go to a place to where you know people cared about the people of the community. What he's trying to do is ride on the back of something that everybody was behind. Yeah, we all stood behind justice.
Mm-hmm.
We stood behind justice.
Exactly.
And that's not what he's trying to do, you know, because we want to talk. They said, I believe Mr. James said that it was not about a name, but it was about change. Okay, changing her name to that building is going to change what?
Mm.
What is that going to change in our community? But if you want to talk about putting a substation in our community and putting her name on that, because we're not the ones that need to be reminded of this incident. They are.
Mm-hmm.
You want to honor her? Put they in the city say they behind you? Okay, show me you behind me. Put her name on that. If you're scared, get out of the position you're in. But put her name on that. We know where your contribution come from.
I would just say that whole scenario was premature, it was unthought out, and it was a punt on the issue because there was a lot of – the trial was just over, and like you said, you mentioned that we were all behind justice. Well, we got whatever wooden nickel of justice, and now they're trying to get a refund on that. But what I will say is I'm just like – and you can tell that Nettles and whoever – and I'm not going to get James into it because I understand the spirit of James, you know? Okay?
He's right.
But Nettles should have been the one to sit there and say – he should have been the one with the wherewithal to understand his community that this, like you were saying, it wasn't thought out. And I'm going to say, whatever his compromise that come up, it wasn't even proper English. But what I said was be creative. I had the suggestion, and I didn't make it to him, but I had the suggestion that they take that park. You keep the Hillside Community Center, but what you do is you go over there to that park and you say Hillside Memorial Park. And then you have a memorial to, as big as you want to, you have a memorial fund for Tatiana Jefferson, and you put a fountain and some granite, and then, but you have a Hillside Memorial Park that remembers all of the members of the community, and then there it is.
But nothing's wrong with that.
That's thinking.
We work with that, but that's the thing. It's political posturing because he's trying to ride off emotions. And my comment to him was, you're asking for the vote of the people of the community, but you refuse to listen to their input or anything that they have to tell you about the community. You know, it would have been different had he said, hey, we can get together in a town hall and we want to talk about what we want to do here. He said it's been over a year. Nobody over there has any information. Now, he claims there was a homeowners association there. We've never known of one.
Yeah.
There hadn't been one. I'm from the South Side. I still do business on the South Side.
I think what I saw was, and y'all listen, I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't live on the South Side. I think I do agree with, you know, what happened to Tatiana Jefferson was tragic. And that's all we're going to be. That's just going to be what that is. But I thought, you know, when it was so passionate that night and so many speakers from both sides, you know, going back and forth, and it almost became, you know, like, you know, it was too confrontational, in my opinion. It should have been, in my opinion, taken off the table and done in a closed session where, you know, it was like, you know, people able to speak freely, you know, because, you know, you got the 3-minute limit when you're at city council and just hash the whole thing out. But I did think the vote was premature. I thought that it would have been better served because I think, in my opinion, the whole issue with the Tatiana Jefferson is not over. And so I thought, in my opinion, don't divide the community over this when we're going to need each other again. And so I just thought it would have been better. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? I just thought it would have been better and smarter for people to realize that this is like a small hurdle compared to the big hurdle we still got to cross. And so I just thought that maybe that should have been worked out at another time. That vote should not have been on the floor that night. That was my opinion.
Remember, we talked about it prior to the vote. When we first heard, when people from the South Side heard about it, everybody was like, why would you do that? And that's why when I had brought up on the show before, I said, I don't think he's doing the right thing, you know, because the people that live there, nobody has a clue about what you're doing or why. Mm-hmm. And now that you're doing it, you know, you say, well, we want to compromise a certain way. And I'm like, oh, but the way you're going about your business is messy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and I just think it divides, you know, we had just come through a point where everybody was, you know, locking arms and kumbayaing together and say, you know, we got history here in Fort Worth, and then all of a sudden behind it, we're divided. And that's what I didn't like. I didn't like
that. And that's what happens with, like I said, any other candidate, any other council person within their community, when you refuse to talk to or listen to the people that you're supposed to represent, there's always going to be a backlash.
Wow.
And that's regardless of whatever side of town you're in.
You know, is that Wayne, Mr. Brown? Is that Wayne?
What's going on, Adrian?
Oh yeah, now I saw you on it. I saw you on it the Zoom yesterday, and I was letting Kerry know the numbers that were on that Zoom. I said it was less than 40 people on that Zoom, on a Zoom discussion, and I feel like it should have been longer. You know what I'm saying? If y'all going to have this type of discussion or anything, y'all, where was the effort in getting this information out? Because it should have been way more people on that discussion. But what I think that vote did, you know, and I was down and I told everybody, I'm on neutral ground. See, I'm like, I said, I let people know, I'm on neutral ground. I'm just here to let y'all know that it said that there's division, and there's division, and we need before we leave this place, we need to nip that in the bud, because we should lead her with that thought. But that opened up the room for, I'm gonna say what I told, what I saw Wayne that night. I felt they opened up room for disrespect from some people, because they feel like they feel a certain way about particular people in the community's leadership. They can openly say and have this type of way about themselves and it go unchecked. And Mr. Nettles, he was playing to that side. We shouldn't have to put this – we shouldn't – I'm going to tell you, everybody, you shouldn't have to be, put a disclaimer out every time we mention Mr. Tatiana Jefferson. You shouldn't have to put a disclaimer out. Yo,
no.
Everybody, I'm pretty sure we had a passion and we felt some way about that situation. But you shouldn't have to – when you make a comment, well, we know that – I'm not gonna put a disclaimer out. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna say this. It felt political. And Mr. I'm going to record and say this. I do not care. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this to Kerry before. Mr. Nettles ran on an issue like this before when he ran for mayor against Jesse Price. He was using the Jackie Craig situation then. So I'm letting people know, y'all got to pay attention. So
that's his MO.
Are you using the moment, the moment, just to ride the wave? And I said it. This is the last thing I say. He wasn't mindful of the people who vote, because I guarantee you half those other people on the side, which are young adults, I guarantee a majority of them are not registered voters. Them elders of that community, I guarantee the elders of that community vote. So he did not consider that factor, and even I considered that.
And you got to look at it where it is. It's between two historic parts of the South Side. You got Morningside Heights, that's to your south, and then you got I.M. Terrell, that's to your north. Fits right in the middle of that is a hub that's Hillside Recreation Center that dispersed kids from all over the South Side to every school in the Fort Worth Independent School District.
Wow. Not good. I think, you know, a lot of things go on downtown where, you know, the people will be in the room passionate about it, you know, and basically crying out to council, don't do the vote tonight. Pause the vote. Let's talk about it. And so many times they'll just go ahead and do the vote anyway, which is crazy to me, which says you're not listening to the people. You know what I'm saying? Your pulse is not connected to the people, because if you saw the passion in the room, you wouldn't want your community divided. You would want to figure out, how do I bring peace to this situation? How can we talk this out? And I don't see our council doing that a lot. I see, you know, when their minds are made up, when they come into that chamber or sit on that dais, their minds are already made up as to how they're going to go. It is very rare that they change the thought process on how they're going to vote, which is sad.
I would like each one of them to name me five people that they don't have a political tie to in their community that knows them.
Wow.
And I ain't talking about the street you live on. I'm talking about the district that you say you want to represent. Name me five people from each one of those places and give me their names and numbers. Let's verify this. Because that way you're letting it be known. People on each and every side of town know who you are. They're supposed to know what you represent. And you're supposed to be able to go with them with anything pertaining to the community and give them the opportunity to say yes or no. That's what a representative of a city council person is supposed to be about. But if you have your own agenda, you're going to get called out on it.
And I think they can't even take constructive criticism, and that's when you know you're in trouble. When people come down there and literally tell you about something, not in a harsh way, but just like, listen, y'all aren't even paying attention. This, and you need to watch it. And literally, you know, they will come back with things like what Elizabeth Beth said. Y'all think y'all smarter than we are. What?
You see what I'm saying?
That's retarded. I mean, I'm sorry.
Are you also made the mention one time, I think, was it Chris Nettles that said, that's why I'm where I am and you are where you are, something to Adrian? Or
I remember that statement. You see what I'm saying? These jokers would be tripping.
I'm just saying.
That's so wrong.
But it's so egotistical that you would get up there and talk to the people as though they're beneath you. You know what I'm saying? That's not
yep.
even smart. You know, I mean, and
that shit gonna
get
you checked. That's what they gonna do. Hey, I tell them all the time. You don't live in that building.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know what? Now I understand. When I was thinking about Bob's stance. How Bob? He said, "Why does Bob keep talking about this public speaking so much? Why does he keep talking about it so much?" But it made sense to me. The more I went down to council meetings, they put They clear the room. This is how they clear the room. They do all that little ceremonies. They do all that little ceremonial, all that little presentation. The house is packed at the beginning of the council meeting. But once they get those people there, their flowers, their recognition, it clears out. And then we got an empty room. We're an empty room. And only people left there are the business developers, business interests, law enforcement, and the people who got something they want to, you know, basically go against, you know, speak up about.
Kids.
But otherwise, I see why Bob said put us back at the top, because you put us at the top, everybody has to sit here and listen to us. And y'all don't want everybody to know.
Nah.
They don't want everybody to know what's going on. And then not only that, y'all, the rule changed. The way they do the agenda items now. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Once you get up and speak on what you speak on, they move on to the whole. We're through with the consent items. They just say we're through with them. They didn't say what they voted on or didn't vote on. They just said we're through with the consent items. Now we're moving on to the non-consent items. They don't fast track.
Exactly.
Listen, like you said, Carrie, if your family is more important to you, please give up the council seat to a person who got time. I got time. I'm like you, Carrie. I never experienced having, you know, birthing children into this world. So guess what? Adrian has time for the people. I can make my bed down at the city council, at the city hall, if y'all need me to. I can be there. I got time.
Yeah.
I ain't got nothing.
They don't want that, though.
They want to get you in and out of there, like, you know, I mean, it's like to me, they act like they're Burger King. We're going to have it our way. You know what I'm saying? This ain't Burger King. We can't make a council your way. We got city business, and the city business needs to be conducted like city business. And we should not be going in there having popcorn sessions where they want to be in and out in 15 minutes. And anybody that's disrupting that, you know, no, that's crazy. And I say to anybody who's got a meeting that they got planned or something, you know, on the same night of council or church or whatever your program may be, you don't need to be a council person. If your other things that you have to do are more important than the city business, it's selfish. That's the word. It's selfish for you to be down there and trying to structure city business around your business.
Well, they sit up there under the spirit of entitlement.
Ooh,
yeah.
Good work.
I'm going to call it biblical. I'm going to go that deep on them. They all sit up there once they get there, and they want to sit on a seat of entitlement. But you forgot what to say. Remember, the same people you see going up, you're going to see going down. And now guess what? You're going to have debates too.
Ooh.
You better start thinking about how you're going to answer certain questions, because trust me, this shit with us, it ain't over.
Ooh.
You know, you finna get hammered from every which way about this community because it offers that much more than you done lived twice in your life, partner.
Mm. And you know
you
what?
Didn't take time out. Go ahead.
Them seats don't belong to you. Don't get comfortable. Yeah, y'all made all them changes. Y'all changed all the furniture in City Hall like that was y'all house. What was y'all thinking?
Hey, y'all. Check this out. Another quick observation, y'all. Think about this thought, y'all. The people who didn't vote for you last time, they still not going to vote for you this time around. So remember that. If you beat an incumbent, rather fur out, or you beat an incumbent through if you beat an incumbent fur out, or you beat an incumbent during a runoff, hint, you being in the country during a runoff, you got to realize those people who didn't vote for you then, they're not going to vote for you this time around. So
come on.
There you go.
Come on.
You gotta realize it. What did you do to bring those people onto your, you know, you had 2 years, whoever you are, you had 2 years to convince those people who didn't vote for you why you should be their representative.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna go on the Bible like you said real quick, and this ain't long at all. But you said you want to take it biblical, and I'll take it to my favorite story in the Bible other than the story of Jesus, and that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You want to keep throwing people in the fire? Wait till they walk through that fire and come out, and you're going to be bowing down.
Oh, yep.
You about to lose your job. You know, and this is what I
y'all wild now. Richard, you about to lose your job.
Yes, but these people have lost their mind, and you know what? And we tolerated them treating us just like, I mean, literally, it's not a problem. I took the city hall, they got resolved. Nope. You call down there, you tell them your problem, guess what? It don't get fixed. You go to city council, you tell them your problem, guess what? It don't get fixed. They are not problem solving down there. They don't. And
no.
By the way, y'all don't answer the phones down there. Can't nobody get nobody on the phone. Have y'all tried to call a department in the city? I'm going to tell you, the only department in the city of Fort Worth that answers their phone, in my opinion, is the city secretary's office. Everybody else, good luck. Good luck.
See, that's why I make personal appearances.
Hey, y'all, and I'm going to say this. Chair, I think you shared the story. I didn't get to look into it. They're not going to be going into the new building anytime soon, right?
No,
but I want people to be mindful of this. The cost of running that city hall is not going to compare to the cost of running that new city hall. That's a much bigger building. It requires the lights to be on 24/7, 365.
Wow.
So think about that. Who's paying that light bill down there? Taxpayers are going to be paying for that. When there's nothing going on.
The renovation.
That's what I'm saying. When there's nothing going on, Mr. TXU, Mr. Encore, Mr. Whoever, they're still going to be billing you. So this idea of we want to do something new, we're doing something new in Fort Worth. We gotta really touch to the people's hearts who are concerned about their cost of living, because a lot of people it's not affecting. A lot of people are comfortable.
Kerry. Neil Noakes came off his dinner date. He doing a briefing about the shooting at the Whataburger across the street from Pascal. See how they do, Kerry? He ain't even in the phone. The white folks told him. That's it, man,
yeah.
David. Whatever you're doing, the mayor told you stop doing what you're doing. Go out there and be at that press conference. I said, boy, the people in TCU, I ain't playing around.
That's what they done.
I just popped up. He got a sports coat like he's out on a dinner date. Hey, Slick.
Y'all messing up the Friday night.
Say, I hate to interrupt you, but you need to go out and address this, partner.
But that team, but that was a team understander, a Pascal student, Hispanic.
Yep.
Kerry, look at this. Wayman can relate to the Pascal. We know what's going on over there and how them people move over there.
That's how it's going.
It ain't supposed to happen over there.
What?
I guarantee you. Watch, Wayman.
They had kids over there that were vandals.
No, watch, bro. They for the redistrict them Hispanics out of Pascal. Watch what I tell you, Wayman.
Oh yeah, they've been trying to do. You know, I didn't know you had to test to get in now.
Oh
well, I'm telling you now, buddy. That was the straw that broke the camel's back.
They're very selective about who they let in there now.
Oh yeah, for sure. But I guarantee you, that's the straw that broke the camel's back.
They're the ones that wanted to integrate.
Huh?
They're the ones that wanted to integrate.
Well, I'm telling you.
They're getting what they asked for.
I agree with you, but you know how they quick, they want their quick fix. You know how they do.
What do you say, Gary?
Who's predominantly at Pasco? White people? White kids?
Well, it's a feeder school for TCU. You literally, we used to do our basketball practice, run from our school around their campus and back to school.
Right.
Okay.
It's over there off of Forest Park.
You got to understand that community that's just behind Pasco, you got million-dollar homes.
Multi-million-dollar homes.
Multi-million-dollar homes in the TCU
my mom
area,
is over there.
People are not going for Wayman. No, I'm not lying. They ain't for the tolerance. No.
Where my mom lives is over there off of 8th Avenue.
Right.
You know, you're talking about $4-5 million homes that are over there on that street.
Yes, sir.
Got the little roundabout in the community.
Yeah, exactly.
That bull corn. And I'm like, they like, man, we not going for that.
Well, Wayman, you know I ain't lying, bro. They finna rewrap their heads by tomorrow. And trust and believe, they finna call who district is that? Pasco. I forgot that white.
Elizabeth Beck
over there. Oh, they gonna
get Elizabeth Beck.
Oh, that's
nah.
Nice.
I'm talking about for the school board.
Oh, I
that's
know.
School board.
Name.
Y'all, that shooting happened today at 2401 West Berry Street.
Yeah, that's right from Pasco. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm just saying for anybody who doesn't know the location.
When we growing up over there, they gave you each spots. You had them all around the corner again because you got these affluent white kids.
Exactly.
So they put everything right there to cater to them.
Yep.
And now you come up with something like this.
Wow.
And trust and believe, it ain't one of theirs.
You see what I'm saying? Shit, they finna come out with immigration and everything else.
Oh, wait, y'all. Y'all.
They've been doing it like that.
Somebody got killed there, too, y'all. Somebody died today.
One of the two kids that got shot.
Yeah.
That's one died from the high school, isn't it?
Right. So, you know, I'm sure it is some nervous parents over there tonight. You know, but we need more numbers, y'all. We need a proper data, crime data. We're not getting the proper numbers, I'm understanding. I'm understanding there's a shooting everywhere or somewhere every night, but we're not hearing that on the news. And we need to have...
Go ahead, Tara. Go ahead.
We need police standards or something to tell us what's going on.
I was going to talk about that case. Was it... Oh, man. About 3 weeks ago, maybe, in the Northwest District, they had Neil Noakes came out with the video talking about, and there was a car chase and everything. The dude was breaking in cars over there on the northwest
on
side.
On the north side. They showed that bull corn on Fox 4.
Oh,
they showed it, and then Neil Noakes came out. If you go to the Fort Worth PD website, scroll down, you'll find his little transparency bullshit, right? Well,
yep.
He said he spun up a whole bunch of shit. He spun up a whole bunch of things, a bunch of hype about, oh, we got a report of a gun, blah, 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 you know, blah, 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 just to give the spirit of, oh, we got a bad guy and he deserved it, you know? Mm-hmm. And what it wound up being was so he ran. They fishboned the car. You know, it was stationary, and these cops started running on it. Well, there was four cops around that car making contact with the dude, trying to do the business of what cops was. There was one dude 50-60 yards away with his M4, his patrol rifle, and he shot off. He popped off around at that dude. The dude didn't have a gun. He was just staying in his car, and they had the helicopter, and they're telling you all these narrative stories. Well, what happened was, you heard about all this, you heard about all that, and that was an unjustified shooting, regardless of the fact he was stationary, there was no threat. Well, I looked up on the Attorney General's site, and they got to file in custody shooting with the Attorney General. They said
they're gonna lie on
suspect,
that.
the suspect did not produce, exhibit, or carry a weapon at any point. And when you say that and you shoot him with the – it's in the Attorney General's report. The Fort Worth police sent the facts. But now they don't want to identify the officer. They say it's under investigation. Well, it's just under the radar. They're just letting
There's
it
There's a Fort Worth
just
police
like
officer?
Like, yes, yes. It was – I think it was the 13th of January no, was it December or –
Must have been December.
Yeah, maybe it was. I think it was the 13th of December. It was, to be honest with you, it was exactly when the jury was deliberating. It was the 13th of December. It's on the and they've got a video on there. I've been posting about it. I mean, it might have been trying to say, but and they ain't naming nothing. They ain't saying nothing. I know the dude was a criminal. He broke in a car. He stole a car. They crashed him out. But it was at that point in time, there was no threat. And the dude just popped a shot at him from, like Call of Duty, sniped him out.
I think we got to have some more transparency with what's going on with these shootings and stuff the crime data in Fort Worth. I think, first of all, they're selling Fort Worth like it's Mayberry, and this ain't Mayberry. This is starting to look like what y'all used to describe as murder world because something's going on every night. So this ain't Mayberry. And they need to stop lying to the people. This ain't Mayberry no more. And I don't know who's to blame, but I think we need some accurate numbers. If you look on the police of the city of Fort Worth police department's website, it doesn't look like it's that bad. So are they lying to us on the numbers?
Yeah.
Just think about that. Somebody's got to be lying on the numbers because if you just look at the website, it doesn't look like what we're dealing with. They say Las Vegas Trail is out of control, but you don't see that on the website.
Yeah, shit. Well, Las Vegas Trail been off the rails for the last 5 years.
That part. Somebody told me it's a shooting every night over there, but you don't see that on the news.
They not going to broadcast it. Why? They selling the sereneness of alliance. That's what they selling. They said, we're just north of Fort Worth, but we're close enough to downtown to where you can be isolated out here, and they got to worry about that inner city stuff going on. You just come over here, go to work, do your thing, and then you go back out here. That's what they selling.
But the alliance has got some problems out there. There's been several shootings out there recently.
It's only so much that you get to do in the inner city before that spills over. That's what everybody catching. That's what Pasco caught. They just caught a spillover of what's going on around them.
Wow.
But you just nailed it. I'm going to tell you, that's what you see when you're having a phase of gentrification. Okay?
Mm. Yeah.
Because in an urban area, historically, you see the projects and this and that and whatever. Well, for the past 20 years, they've been knocking down all the projects. They got that road, that Fairmont. What was those red brick buildings right there on Henderson where the new college is?
I know what you're talking about.
And then they had all that stuff, those other red brick project buildings that was – and I know they were old and they needed to get topped down, but – now you're gonna start seeing it happen in Stop Six because Stop Six is just gonna be a little too close to Panther Island, right?
Oh, shit.
So they wanna bump all that shit out of. They wanna bump all that shit to the periphery.
Yep.
You're gonna spread it around.
But see this gentrification thing. First of all, you don't have a place for your homeless. And we see how they were treated with this cold snap. So in my opinion, we really got to be careful about how we're letting them move along with this gentrification because when you get through, you're displacing people and you're not giving them any place to go. There's no affordable housing. So, I don't know what the end game is, but if you have not prepared for what you're creating, then I think you need to pause and pump the brakes on what you're doing because all this building is creating, a situation of new homelessness and displacing people. And I just don't think the city cares about the homeless here. We've seen that. They wouldn't even open the convention center. We can't.
They don't
care
nothing about homeless people.
They don't.
This town has become the have and have nots.
Oh, it really has. That's true. That's true. And you know, and we see that because when you see people down at City Hall fighting to not let a new development come in there, they don't care about what the people say. It's about the development. You know,
then they'll claim intimate domain and put your ass out anyway.
Well, this is true. This is true. I mean, you know, y'all, I say Fort Worth is in trouble. I don't know if anybody sees it like I do, but we got too many changes too fast. And we don't have the proper leadership to carry us over into the next decade. No, we're going backwards. You know, all the reversals of the decisions that they've made downtown, some of them were totally unnecessary. They were made just for convenience. Why would we need a council that has just created, I mean, basically a whole new structure just for their convenience? That's crazy by itself. Who goes to the jungle?
I don't know, on the note of homeless, I don't know if we talked about this on the show before or on the side, but, you know, you were talking about that person that died during that cold spell out behind McDonald's, right?
Yep.
Right.
And what I'm sitting here saying is telling everybody the narrative and all of the billboard stuff that this NPO, okay, you got an NPO concept going on, this community policing. Well, in my understanding, that dude, what I've studied and what the feedback that I've got on that person that died was, he was a known severely handicapped, medically compromised person, right?
Wow.
That had been there for years, or a long time. And what I'm sitting here saying is, if you got an NPO concept growing up, that should be a checklist on at least every shift. Like a chef, hey, check on dude. If he's busted, let's get him to the hospital or let's get him somewhere. Or I'm not talking about go snatch him up or harassing him or whatever, but shit, if it's going to be 17 degrees, that should be the priority on your NPO's list to go to that. You said, and he stayed at, they say, the rumor I had was he stayed at that same area, that the car wash or whatever. And that he was there every day for a long, long time, and that should have been a routine beat, like shaking a hand or, hey, here's a sandwich.
But the police have forsaken their duty to reach out to help the community.
The NPO gets funding for that kind of engagement. He gets a budget to sit there just to throw some stuff around like that.
Yeah.
Let's just say this. Not my NPO. My NPO is too busy, and that would be Michael Chavez, number 4053. He's too big. He's too busy helping the dope people make more money, and I'm assuming maybe getting kickbacks. So no, my NPO don't have time for that. He's not gonna. That's Gina's boy, but he ain't gonna do that. No, he's too busy helping the drug dealers on the block stay safe. So no, he's not gonna do that. So,
they're gonna wind up cutting him. They're gonna get him cut short. They're gonna get him cut short in them streets and by people that know him.
It's common
because they don't respect him as a police officer.
It's common, but you can't tell Gina that. But it's common. And I'm gonna say this. And I'm gonna go on record. When he kills somebody, Gina Bivens, I'm never gonna let this city forget that you saved his job. When he kills somebody out there, I'm never going to let you live it down that you saved his job. Now, that I'm going to do. I want to make her that promise that I'm going to forever remember his name. And if he ever, and I believe he will because he has that type of temperament, when he kills somebody, I'm going to remind everybody that Gina Bivens helped him save his job. I'm going to do that.
That's why I roll around with my shit on me all the time, letting them know, player, if you don't have no reason to be harassing me, I'm going to keep going on about my business. But the police will run up on you sideways. And I'm like this. Then you become just like somebody, what you say, you become somebody that like you say, became a threat and I fear for my life. If they got that kind of temperament.
And you almost have to say that almost on sight of police. Don't come up on me. You don't want me running up on you. Don't run up on me because I don't know
exactly.
what's on your mind on the kind of day you had. You know, so what,
exactly.
it's so bad. Right, you know, it's so bad right now in Fort Worth, to be honest with you. We don't have any confidence in the police. That's scary. When you don't have any you don't want to come in contact with them at all because you fear that things may not turn out right for you. It should not be that way. And they can do all these little commercial ads that they've been doing, trying to act like everything's fine with our police department, but it ain't.
Well, I grew up in a black community all over Fort Worth, and I can tell you, it ain't never been safe.
Ooh.
We ain't never had no confidence in them.
Ooh.
Now, we had a few black officers that were on the force, and they did not conform to the way business was being done as usual, and they went through their own harassment as well. But they made it through that shit, got their pension, and kept it moving.
Wow.
But they made sure also that the community that they worked in, particularly with their own people, say, man, I'm going to give you this warning. By law, this is what I can and can't do to you. So we learn from that.
Hmm.
See, again, that ties you back to Hillside. That's where we got a lot of that education from. We had officers, we had doctors, we had dentists, you know, we had surgeons, we had teachers. All of those people lived in our community. So everybody knew everybody. And like the brother said, if y'all know that dude is out there, go check on him. You know, we had officers in the community back then that actually engaged with the people that they, quote, unquote, were supposed to have been protecting in the first place. Now, if they caught you doing something that you ain't got no business, you know, the game is what the game is. Shit, you got caught, you got to go.
Mm-hmm.
But
and this will
for
be
the most
– This will be the thing that I sit there and say. If you got an NPO or an officer that's got time to go fuck with a, excuse my language, that's got time to go fidget around like Mr. Cotton, like Officer Gentry Cotton did when he was harassing or coercing or pumping up this homeless dude to be talking, got him on body camera talking about, oh, who did, blah, 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 about selling votes or voter fraud or whatever. If you got an officer that's got time to be out doing, which is against the general orders, conducting what would explicitly be political activities, because there was it was just hype. He was out there trying. I don't doubt that he didn't buy the dude some, give him a bottle of liquor and tell MD 2020 and say, tell me what I want to hear. But it was set up like that, and then we got a big old hyped up scandal about voter fraud on this, that, whatever. Now, if this, that, whatever, but that Officer Cotton has a history. That Officer Cotton had something going on with Manuel that looked like planning evidence or fabricating evidence. He was him and Hoffman was the first one that walked up in the scene after Dean, Officer Gentry Cotton and Officer Hoffman. They walked up in the house under a Tatiana Jefferson shooting, murder, and And then what did we hear this little hint of, we found a little some kind of jazz in her pocket that we might want to talk about. Well, that's what they did to Manuel Mata, too, the same officers. But they didn't bring him up on the stand. That was a sorry-ass trial. They should have had those two officers' body cams because we didn't see nothing out of – and then the actual body cameras of Darch missing. I'm getting off subject.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
We got to get out of here. We got to get out of here, y'all. Listen, it's been another very interesting show. Listen, y'all, we got to get to the polls May 6, 2023, and we got to vote for people who basically vote the will of the people on these agenda items and not their own will. We got to vote in people who listen to the people. We got to vote for people who don't vote in blocks, but they vote the will of the people again. We got to vote for people who won't give CCPD money away like it's a running faucet. I mean, $10 million to like 40 organizations, that makes no sense. We need to vote in people who have better sense than up the tax rate. I mean, basically, when they didn't have to. We have to vote for people who are not more concerned with developers than they are concerned about us. We need to be concerned about people who care about our firefighters, our black firefighters who are currently, from what I understand, experiencing harassment and racial issues right here in our fire department. We need to vote for people who are not afraid of the police department, but will do what they have to do when we have bad officers on the force. We need to reduce spending. We got to put the right people down there, y'all. May 6, 2022 is election day. We got to vote the right people in. That's it. Until next week, good night.